me see if I got this in a nice spot here for all of us.
It's madness.
Make sure we can hear Gwen. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
We are the Ghoul Cast. Well, we're the Flint Horror Collective.
Yes.
And this is the Ghoul Cast.
I disagree.
Okay.
That is crazy talk.
I will hear it after the show.
Madness. Whoa.
So, yes, that's a lead-in to what we're doing here today. It's, as we're recording, it's the end of March. Hopefully this podcast will be up by April.
2025.
So we decided to do a March Madness episode about psychos and madmen in movies. And
yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah.
From another world.
Yes.
So.
Or any world.
So basically, psycho killers, serial killers, cannibal killers,
anything where you're like
psycho madness.
Madness.
This is crazy, man.
Yeah.
That's insanity.
Whatever would end up on the crazy train.
So so Ozzy.
Sure.
Ozzy in the movie Trick or Treat.
We're going off the rails right now.
Ozzy is
on a crazy train. Oh, you're so good. Oh, I'm glad we let her come into this group. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was a good one. Be quiet for the rest of it.
Okay, I'm
done. We're done talking. You didn't even hear her name today.
Oh yeah, so yeah.
So let's introduce dad joke to everybody.
Hi, Hungry.
Dad joke.
Hi, Hungry. I'm Audrey.
I'm Paul.
I'm Dave.
Scara.
Glenn.
Hi.
And we are Wild Stallions. No, so when we were talking about, I mean, this could be dating back for quite some time because the one that you always think of right off the bat
is Psycho. Definitely.
But obviously there's monsters and madmen and crazy things.
All the way back.
All the way. Edison's Frankenstein.
Yeah.
The Man Who Laughs.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
That's what I was saying to you.
Fritz Lang's M.
Mm-hmm.
That's far back.
Oh, let me be a nerd here because my notes are...
Oh, out of his front pocket, like a nerd.
M is where I was going with this.
Okay.
So, man, that... M, for those who don't know, is Peter Lorre, and it's Fritz Lang.
Yeah.
It's one of his first movies that he made in America, I believe.
Yeah.
Because he had a bunch of political crap going on. But Peter Lorre.
Super good.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Peter Lorre.
And if you watch that movie right now in 2024, it's still freaking disturbing.
It is. Oh, he's a child murderer, for those that don't know.
There's a scene, which I know we don't want to go into like crazy, super detailed spoiling, but this I don't think is, but there's a scene where the girl's trying to get in the house and she's knocking on the door and going crazy.
Yeah.
And the mom is just doing the dishes and whatnot. Oh, hold your horses. And then you just see the blood seep under the door.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
That makes me feel so weepy every time. It just gets me.
Yeah. It's a rough movie. And then the scores that, I think it, the Hall of the Mountain King.
Yeah.
So it's that weird, like, little, like, jumpy score.
Yeah.
Spooky as heck.
It is. It's spooky.
Spooky as heck.
And there's just enough of that German expressionistic kind of feeling to it all.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's where I thought of was one that might be kind of a template.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
For a lot of the ones that have come later. There's... A bunch of
it's early sound too.
Yeah.
So I mean, there is sound. It's not a silent, but it's pretty early for sound.
It's coming off of silent movies. Yeah. With a lot of Lon Chaney. Lon Chaney played a lot of Mad Men.
Yes, he did.
Senior, but yeah, that was the one I thought of. Where this is kind of like a template for things to come.
Definitely.
Not that we have to go in order or anything, but that was just I thought of Psycho, then I thought of M, and I'm like, man,
those are the two big ones.
Those are creepy to this day.
I thought of a lot. My brain was trying to find ones that, as you stated before we even started this, things that other people wouldn't think of. So I have a list of ones that are kind of like, oh, these are oddballs that we might not have thought of. But M's a great one, and I don't think a lot of people remember it.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be nice to shine a little light on that.
Yeah.
To our millions of listeners.
You have to go way back to 1931.
Yeah, it was 31, wasn't it?
It's impossible, impossibly huge list. It's impossible.
Yeah.
I brought along my Chaz Ballinmore gore score book as just a reference that might have some things that you don't see on the internet, you know.
Yeah. Just,
there's so many. In fact, no preparation for this at all because there's so much crazy in my head to begin with. I mean, from movies about movies. that
right.
I just, there's so many. You can go in any direction.
Yeah.
From way early on to any of those movies, Freaks, you know.
I wonder, and if it's the same as horror in a way where it kind of reflects the times. Not just, but like the occurrence, like a lot of them, a lot of psychotic people in movies from the 80s, the 90s. Like, does it reflect the time in the way that horror does? Because I'm not just talking about horror movies.
Sure, sure. But I mean, when you're talking about like insanity or madness in movies, it's not just, it's also not like the main drive of the movie.
Right.
A great example is Renfield goes crazy.
Right.
He's a normal person.
Right, right.
But I don't want to say minor, but he's not one of the major characters in Dracula.
Right.
You know, it's Harker, Dracula, of course, and
he's just a vehicle for Dr. Dracula.
Dracula or Dr. Frankenstein, I don't know.
Dracula. Dr. Dracula.
But anyways, you know what I'm saying. So yeah, I mean, it's in a lot of stuff and it's all over.
Yeah. Yeah, and Dracula is just using him.
Right.
But he has to get him to that certain spot where he's eating spiders and flies.
Right.
Master. And then he's playing one of the best scary mad guys of all time.
And a lot of great actors.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Tom Waits was great as a Renfield. I remember Klaus Kinski in Jess Franco's Count Dracula.
Oh, yeah.
He was good. He's not a great Dracula, though.
No. I just watched that a few weeks ago.
There's not really a lot of great Jess Franco to begin with.
No, there's not.
To be fair, Jess Franco made a name for himself by making that one movie that was... Never Forgettable. What was that one? I can't remember. He did Eyes Without a Face, right?
I don't think he did that.
Yeah, I think that was
We'd
him.
Have to look it up. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
because I think it was him.
Was it?
You can't remember.
Yeah, it's in my phone.
I mean, Vampiros Lesbos is the one that
I remember. Is that Jess Franco?
That's Jess Franco.
That's
amazing.
And that's pretty standard for Jess Franco, and I know we're going off the... Topic.
No, absolutely.
I can't even read it.
Jess Franco, if anybody that listens, that there's a lot of people that will back Jess Franco and think, you know, he's an icon of Italian horror in his own way. Yeah, I could go off on a different thing there. Especially if you start talking about him or Joe D'Amato in real life was a bit of a psycho.
Yeah, I was going to say,
That's
art imitating life or life imitating art.
Yeah, but... Mentioning him, but see, I was thinking about the psychopathic females in different movies.
That's what I was sort of focusing on.
And when I think about Joe D'Amato in Boy Omega, or was it Buried Alive?
Oh, right.
You know, that's the one movie where he like actually chopped up real corpses in there or whatever. But the psychopathic woman in there was Iris.
Yeah.
Okay.
Iris,
she's
who
creepy.
Took yeah, Iris
very
was really
creepy.
Who was like she was. The nanny of the young man, well, the older young man,
right,
who was very comforting to him in certain aspects.
Yeah.
Very jealous of his dead girlfriend, but she was definitely what we call a FP, fucking psycho.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
one of the early ones I can think of, and that's funny because, like, when you look at people that end up being, like, murderers like that, you know, psychopaths, it's usually men, right?
Yeah.
But the one that I was thinking about was Repulsion, which is Roman Polanski's.
Yes.
It's the first one in his apartment trilogy, and it's Catherine Deneuve goes literally bonkers. I think it's one of the best. It's one of the best
bonkers
depictions of someone... slowly going crazy, and you're just watching her losing it.
Right.
Slowly. And it's based out of isolation.
And then, the ambiguity of that is she?
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of... I mean, it's still a question. Like, is she truly, or are some of these things real? Her paranoia.
Well, you also see her hallucinating.
Right.
So you see arms coming out of the walls. So right. Yes, she is going crazy.
Right, right, right.
I mean, it's obvious that that is it. But one of the great things about that, too, is that that's a studio movie made for under $100,000.
Right. In the 60s.
In the 60s.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a great movie for that. So if anybody's interested, that's definitely a thing to check out. Because I don't think a lot of people have seen that. Or the Apartment Trilogy is that and Rosemary's Baby and The Tenant.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But Repulsion's probably, I wouldn't say it's the better of the three, but it's impressive for the amount of money.
Yeah.
Out of the three.
Definitely.
The other three, the other two have a huge budget.
Repulsion isn't even Castle, right?
No, it's not, yeah.
But Rosemary's Baby is.
Yeah.
And he wanted to direct that.
Right.
Which, anyways, we're getting off William track a little Castle. Bit again. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, anyway, I was thinking this along the same lines of women. You know, not exclusively, but that's what I started thinking about. So right away I went to Misery.
Ooh, yes, Annie Wilkes.
Annie Wilkes.
Oh, good
God.
One. Oh,
such a great movie.
God.
Ouch, my ankles.
Have you seen Misery?
No.
Okay, it's Kathy Bates. Mm-hmm. You know Kathy
Bates. I know
Bates.
What it is.
One thing I was noticing the other day
that
I didn't remember, Lauren Bacall is in that movie.
Oh, wow.
Is it his it's James Caan's agent.
Yeah. Okay.
Lauren
Bacall. I love Lauren Bacall, so I thought that was interesting. I guess I haven't seen this movie in a minute. Right. But I remember Annie Dagnabbit.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And so, Richard Farnsworth.
Yes.
As the, is he the sheriff?
Yep.
That doesn't make it.
No.
No. Yeah, he's dead in real life, too.
Aw.
Art imitating
R.I.P. Richard.
Life imitating art.
I'm not sure if that works along
that
the same way. But
bless his heart.
So Annie, though, is this brings up a question that I was going to get to in some of these other movies and probably some stuff we're going to talk about. Annie, does she start with the basis of she is psychotic already? Because she's, or does she get to that point?
Well, she did cause the accident.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, so she's,
because of her obsession.
Am I missing totally something? Nuts. Wasn't she like an angel of death? Wasn't she a nurse that did that? And in the character of Annie Wilkes, she was like an angel of death in the hospital.
Right.
So she was killing people before.
But you would argue that that wasn't necessarily psychotic. Right? That was merciful. That in her mind, it was empathy.
Well, that's still psychotic because you're not supposed to do that.
Right.
Paul.
But I'm talking about.
Watch this guy.
Okay, but listen.
Watch this guy.
Because this is one of the things that I wanted to talk about is like what makes a psychopath.
Yeah.
Sure.
And we
like the pathway of a psycho?
No. What makes a psychopath like an actual psychopath?
Yeah.
Like the lack of empathy, you know, like because I watch a lot of slasher movies and I was trying to think who would like be a psychopath, and I don't think every single like murderer is a psychopath because it's the lack of empathy, the ability to act normal and be charismatic, you know, like all of that. So
good point.
I get what your question is.
Yeah, because
very nice.
She has she's not right away.
right. But here's the thing with her that's fascinating, right? She's a fan of his, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the fan Number comes from
fan.
The word fan.
That's right.
Well, and it comes from the word fandom, which is fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
So she,
like
fanatic's
John,
another
term
for being insane.
Yeah.
Right? She's become such a fan, she's gone over the edge of fandom. She's now a fanatic.
Yes.
Mm. Like that John Travolta movie.
I don't know what you mean.
Like
oh,
that
you never heard
song.
Of that movie, The Fanatic?
Grease?
No.
No, I saw Fanatic.
Wasn't that like directed by the guy from Limp Bizkit, Fred Durst?
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh,
Lord.
Yeah.
It's
and
not
it
a
was,
good movie.
Yeah.
No,
it's terrible.
It's not. And John Travolta.
He's definitely, he's mad.
Yeah. Reminds me of a little bit of Tropic Thunder or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. You never...
Something not good.
Yeah, no, right.
Tropic Thunder, but not good.
Yeah, but no, that's right. That is the root of that word.
Yeah.
Yeah, fanatic fandom.
So she's gone. She's gone over that edge of fandom, and
But there might also be a part of her that enjoys everything that she's done and is doing, because she's clearly
and that's
loves being in control.
And that's kind of a, like, you could even make that into an offshoot of this, is like the people that trap you there for reasons, right?
Logical to so them.
Boxing Helena.
Yeah.
But
Human Centipede. Mm-hmm. All versions of what happens in a way in Misery.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. One of the other ones I was thinking along these lines is May.
Oh, God. She's wonderful in that
Lucky
movie.
McKee.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of a little bit of Sarah.
And
oh, yeah, thanks.
Well, no, just like the way you're artistic and stuff.
This is also... Okay. This is also one of the ones where you're talking about, is this something that's brought out of her because she's clearly she's emotionally unstable. She's disturbed. But then she's trying for acceptance and just can't get it.
Absolutely. Yeah,
anywhere.
Very strange.
So does that push her to, or is it something that's already there?
So that brings, that's another whole overarching idea too, is this idea that as you're going through the change of being an adult, puberty,
mm-hmm.
it does do those kind of things.
Yeah.
So there's this whole thing, and I thought of Donnie Darko in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Donnie slowly is kind of losing his shit.
Yeah.
As well as May.
Yeah.
So there's this whole, like, it's kind of like the Breakfast Club of going nuts.
Because
Donnie Darko.
Do you feel empathy for Donnie when you watch him? When you watch
him? I actually do.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Never.
I like
it's got it's Mr. Good. Bubblehead in it.
Yeah.
Right?
Mr. Mysterio.
Yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Roadhouse.
Yeah, Roadhouse.
Yeah. He's the Donnie Darko guy, right?
Yes, he is.
He's very young in that movie though.
In the same sense, I mean, in my head, because I haven't seen that, but I know what you're talking about with May. Similarly would be and I can't remember the character's name from Ginger Snaps.
It's
the parallel with you know, getting into womanhood and she's getting her, is it her first period?
Yeah.
Yeah, and turning into the wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, she's already tough as nails, you know, she's a badass to begin with. But then once the change starts happening, then you, and I definitely empathize with her. I always want the wolf to win.
Right.
You know, but she turns into kind of a nasty little.
Yeah.
Snatch.
And that's, and that would be a kind of psychopath caused by monster implications. I don't know what.
Lycanthropy.
But she would.
Yes.
She wasn't crazy, though, before this.
No. Okay. She was She's pretty average.
Just a regular kind of Canadian high
young
schooler.
Female these days.
So, talking about female.
I said average, not above
female
average.
Psychopaths?
Yes.
My addition would be Audition.
Oh!
Which is very creepy.
Nice.
Right. Makes you very terrified for the dating world if you ever had to go through that.
What is her name?
I don't
know. Asami. Asami.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she is... He's the guy that is like, oh, you know, auditioning for an actress, but he's really trying to audition for a girlfriend.
Right.
She comes in there all meek and quiet.
Mm. Yeah, it turns out to be something completely different.
Yeah, you said you would love only me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not your child, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, and then with that piano wire? Is that
yeah,
when she's like going? Oh my God!
Daggy puncture needles.
Yes,
too.
The very Oof. Long.
That first time needles. Seeing that shit.
Yeah.
When she's in that room and there's a bag.
Yeah.
And then it moves. What the fuck was that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
it's
no
a great
idea.
Scene.
Yeah. The whole movie is like half.
Yeah.
Romantic, sad, romantic comedy, and then it turns into.
Yeah. It goes off. It goes off the rails.
What the fuck is that? Oh my God!
Yeah,
love. That's such a great. Idea.
That's a great one. Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
In
Takashi Miike.
Yes.
That's who directed it.
Yep.
That's right.
Just trying to remember who it was, but yeah.
I have a trading card of his.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is his little old face on it. Came
little
with
face.
Masters of Horror.
What? Yeah, the Masters of Horror.
I have that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that fucking movie?
It was.
It was a nasty one.
It was so gross, dude.
Were the girls like upside down?
Yeah, they banned it. They didn't show it on Showtime.
Right?
Ichi the Killer?
No.
That's like kids compared.
What?
Imprint.
Yeah, Imprint.
Oh my god,
yeah, Imprint was crazy.
Yeah. Woof. Yeah. I didn't think it was worse than Pelts.
Pelts has more of a comedic stance to it.
I guess.
Is that the one with Meatloaf?
Meatloaf, yeah.
Yeah, that's why.
Anyway. Yeah.
Well, we got onto this topic of like feeling for the person.
Right.
And Norman Bates is a good example of that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Another one that I thought of that's kind of like that, and it's hard to dislike the serial killer, but Ryan Reynolds made a movie called The Voices.
Yeah.
Where his animals are talking to him, mm-hmm. trying to convince him to kill people.
That's a very funny movie.
That is a crazy movie.
Other people have that?
Huh? Other people have that? Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, you know, big...
Scratch him.
You know, big star now, but he made this really cool serial killer movie.
He made it. It's recent. It's not a super
old
movie.
It's not super old either, right? No. It's kind of strange, and I think that one's another one that flew under the radar. And
yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's, The Voices. He's...
You'll get a kick out of it. I know you will.
He works as a forklift driver. And when he goes home, he has a dog and a cat. And the dog and the cat are, like, talking to him. And the cat's, like, you know, trying to convince him, you know, that he's a loser. And the first murder looks like it's an accident. But you slowly get to see the idea that what you're watching is him on his meds.
Yeah.
And they start to show you what it looks like. Like, his apartment looks fairly nice. But as he's coming off his meds, you see, like, how messed up the apartment
it's
is.
It's not really nice. It's,
yeah.
There's blood, guts everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
It's a really cool movie.
It is a good movie. And it just builds and builds and builds till just, like...
Yeah. And you want to like him.
Yeah.
But you're also like, you need to stop.
You want to like him, but leave that girl alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Single white female.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. You seen that one?
I have. I've seen one.
I was just thinking of some of those too, like Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Yeah, because that was that same era.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was wondering about in reflecting the time.
Sliver?
Yep.
That was Sharon Stone.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a Madonna one, Body of Evidence.
Romeo's Bleeding.
Yep. Fits right in with it, which I did
with Gary Oldman.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one.
Who was a young man in that.
Yeah.
He wasn't an old man.
That's true. He wasn't an old
Fatal Attraction. Probably.
Yep, that was the other one. Yep. Yeah. Fatal Attraction.
Yeah.
God.
But Single White Female kind of stuck with me because there's just something about it where she's kind of, she's trying to be the other person.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And she's kind of successful.
Yeah. In ways, she's very successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, disturbingly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whew.
Yeah, it's really sad because Bridget Fonda is just not in the public eye anymore.
Yeah.
She was so good. It's one of those things where you think, why did you quit so young?
Good in everything.
Good in everything.
Even she was crappy movies she was good in.
She was incredible.
Yeah, didn't she say she just got tired of the business?
Probably.
I mean, the recent pictures they show of her,
like
catching her like outside the airport or whatever, she's just like, just leave me alone. Like,
right.
I think she was just saying she's just tired of the business.
Right.
I get it. I totally understand. Even being on Facebook can be too much. Like social media, people talking and, oh, look at my this or that and blah, 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 blah. And you're like, holy crap, could you imagine being like Bridget Fonda out there and everybody's like, hi, I'd like to be up your ass every day.
Wow.
And I have an idea. Here's a business venture. Like, I just want to like shop and eat some bonbons.
Right.
Like, you know, please.
Just leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm existing.
Yeah. I'm about to get there after this fucking podcast.
Good movie.
Oh, what about Rabid Grannies? I'm just kidding.
Well, they were psychopaths. Grannies. To be fair.
About a single white female, I was going to say that one is so prevalent that people use that as a verb. They'll be like, I think I'm getting single white femaled.
Right, right.
I wanted to mention that.
Is that like an ongoing thing?
I've heard it in a show I watched recently. I don't remember which one, but
Yeah.
I've heard one of my friends say it before. Like, it's like a verb. Hmm. Get single wife female. Yeah.
Because that's not even... Because
your dad tries to deal with me all the time.
Yeah.
That's not even a stalker. That's someone trying to be you.
Trying to be you. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Trying to be you.
That is creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, the fact that she kind of fools her boyfriend. Her boyfriend.
That.
I forgot about that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oof. Did you guys see Ma? Did anybody see
Ma? I did not see Ma.
No.
Is
that
no. I
see yeah.
I know what it is, but yeah, I never saw it.
You know, it's not great or anything, but she's so good.
Yeah.
And she carries it and makes you want to see it through to the end. She's like, I'm just pals with all these kids.
Mm. Right.
And, you know, I'm their Ma, you know, but really she's not. She doesn't have their best interests at heart.
Creeper.
Yeah, that was another one that just, I was trying to think of a more recent, besides Jennifer's Body.
Right.
But that's more supernatural.
Right. Like the ginger snaps.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I thought about Jennifer's Body too, but she's not really crazy until after a ritual happens. So.
Right.
Right.
Right. So it's she's still a psychopath, but it's brought on by, yeah.
One of the ones that...
She's not killing people. She's just killing boys.
Right. Right. And there's enough of them. You can get rid of like a tenth of them easily. Might even be able to go further. Well, one of the ones that I think is really cool...
This episode is Glenn's origin story.
One of the ones that I think is interesting in how it depicts... Madness is Bill Paxton's first, it's his directorial debut, and it's called Frailty.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah.
So that one's interesting because it's a father convincing his children that things are not the way they are.
God. And
yeah, that one got me. I was like, ooh.
Me
yeah.
too.
Creepy.
In that same way, like.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like this. Like, no. It made me feel uneasy.
Yeah, it was very disturbing.
Bill Paxton directs. It's starring Matthew McConaughey and Powers Booth. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of the, commanded by God to do God's bidding.
Right.
That's to kill another, these people.
That's another.
Absolutely. I mean, that could take us into cults at that point, right?
Absolutely. That's a good one.
Which is, you know, the idea of mass insanity. All of the things that we talk about often are these single insanity things, but there's mass insanity, and you can look at...
Brought on by a charismatic leader.
So cults is a good example, and the whole movie of Mandy and how the cults, mm-hmm. the cult biker group came in and did all that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a mass group of...
Red State.
Right.
Red State's like a good example.
Manipulated insanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the other ones I thought was interesting, because we went to go see... Escape from New York, you have a whole community underground called the Crazies.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, that just come out of the ground to like cannibalize people.
Yeah.
Literally called the Crazies.
So my kind of party.
Spot on.
But could you argue that they were brought about by circumstance?
Absolutely.
But it's still psychotic.
Yeah.
It's like Dr. Loomis in Halloween 6 or Halloween 5, I think it is, where he's not right anymore.
Well, when you think about it, a cult
the whole
is...
The movie's not right.
A cult,
but he's great in that.
A cult's very similar. It's kind of saying, like, this is what everybody else is doing. Like in Escape from New York, they're all above. They're creating their own way of doing society.
Yeah.
But we're going to do our own society.
Yeah.
So that's the whole, you know, cults are similar in that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the movie Society.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Billy Warlock.
Yeah, yeah.
Son of Dick Warlock, mm-hmm. who played Michael Myers, but not in Halloween 5. It all comes home.
Just like Michael. Yes. Just like Michael.
It's all about Michael.
Yes.
It's all about Michael Myers. In Goldmember.
No, that's the wrong Michael, buddy.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Speaking of circumstance creating... The duality of Basket Case.
And Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
But that's what it is, really.
in a weird way, right? In a weird way, like, way. You know.
In a weird way.
The difference is the drugs are creating this personality, though.
In Jekyll and Hyde, too.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
There is... I forgot that that's the part of that, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I thought of Edge of Sanity.
Right, right.
Which
right.
is bringing Norman Bates back around again.
Edge of Sanity, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Edge of Sanity... I was going to... There's another one with Anthony Perkins. I almost said Anthony Hopkins. Where he... Was it Kathleen Russell in Whore? Remember that movie?
Yeah, I know Kathleen Russell, yeah.
Is that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie. He's in that, right?
Teresa Russell.
Teresa Russell, thank you. Yeah, and I was thinking Kathleen Turner. No, Teresa Russell in Whore. And isn't she kind of taking it out on people in the end?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the matter of circumstance. But I was saying Basket Case because Dwayne, the... more human-looking brother. He's the nice guy, but he is taking Belial right along in the basket.
Right.
To take revenge on the doctors that separated them at birth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly.
So that's driven by a purpose.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is logical to them.
Right.
That was kind of what I was getting at.
And on the same note, another Hen and Lotter movie, Brain Damage.
Yeah.
Where it's brought about by addiction.
Mm-hmm. Right, because
Brian, at first, he's just like this normal guy until Aylmer comes into his life and gives him a dose of the old blue juice and is like, if you want more, you're going to go get me some brains.
Right.
And
yeah,
then he decides, I'm going to, and you know, be pretty much a psycho.
So, but is he a psycho or are they just psychotic actions? That's kind of what I'm...
Yeah, those are psychotic actions.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Based on addiction.
Yeah, because some of the people don't like what they're doing, right? They don't.
Right, he wasn't.
But it is changing your. It is changing your the chemistry inside you.
Right.
So you are psycho.
Right.
You're not normal.
Right.
Elmer's the psycho.
Right.
Aylmer.
Right. Not Aylmer.
But Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, that's what I mean too, right? It's. That's, this is what makes him.
But that's two sides of.
And it's also a personality story.
The argument it's both. That it's in everyone.
It is in everyone.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was sort of wondering about.
Like Black Swan, too.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Good one. Yeah.
That was on my list.
Black Swan.
Black
that's
Swan.
One of my all time favorite Black Swan. Movies.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's good.
Yeah.
That lady from Star Wars, right? Natalie Porthouse, steak lady.
Porthouse steak.
One that I did want to mention, which
steak.
Attaches to Black Swan a little bit, is that there's a whole genre called giallos, and all giallos are crazy people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slasher subgenre, but every one, it's a crazy person.
Yeah,
going nuts with the knife in Italy, Italian knives.
And where did the origin of the word giallo come from?
Lello. It's Italian for yellow.
Lello.
Because
which is some
the spine of the books were all in yellow, pudding. So they knew to read those books.
Thank you, my wise friend. Absolutely.
Very nice.
Yeah. And might I add, the movie Giallo by Dario Argento.
Not very good.
Not
giallo.
Very good.
No. Possibly the worst giallo to watch is the one literally called giallo.
Irony.
But no, if you want to see a good giallo, what would be a good giallo? What would you recommend?
I mean, if we're going back, you know, if we want to be classic, maybe Kill Baby Kill.
It's a good one.
Mario Bava.
That's the one.
Yeah, Kill Baby.
Put it right here.
You know. Yeah.
Every 38 decades.
Yeah.
Bird
with the crystal plumage is a good one to start with.
I always like the name better than the movie.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
But movie. Deep Red. Deep Red is you watch it and you're like, oh, it's classic.
Yeah.
It's dated as all heck.
Right.
But it is
that's
one
kind
of those,
the charm a little bit though.
That is the charm of giallos, is that they are dated.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that one I think that's one of the classic
so
ones.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Watched Goblin play that live while they showed the movie.
That was
so
awesome.
That will always be a favorite. It'll be imprinted on my little
imprint.
Black heart. Yes.
I see what you did there.
Like, yes. And what about like the whole subgenre of revenge movies with women in them?
Yeah.
You know, Ms. 45.
I've seen it classified in that way.
I never thought of it that way, but revenge, yeah, you're right.
Making you psychotic.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I spit on your grave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. the whole reason why Wes Craven made Last House on the Left.
Mm-hmm.
To show that by the end of it, are they different than the guys?
Sure.
Right.
And the gal that did that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Are the parents different?
I mean, you have the revenge movies from Korea, like Old Boy. And,
yep.
And they, you know, he is a little... Ichi the killer. He has gone crazy.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Dumplings. Mm-hmm. The right dumpling.
Yeah. Ms. 45 is one of those. Gosh, there was another one, too. I was just going to, you know, it'll come back to me. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the big ones that I thought of with Frailty, though, because you can't deny this movie's importance in what we're talking about, is Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's a spot on dude going nuts movie. Yep.
Again, though, with some ambiguity.
Yeah, that one is. It's very...
Yeah. Yeah, you're not sure.
You're not sure.
You're not sure.
You are not sure.
You ever seen Jacob's Ladder?
Mm-mm. It's like, what the hell is going on? You'd probably enjoy that one. I've seen Single White Female.
what did you want to talk about?
Have you guys seen Creep?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love
Creep.
That is
that
like
was a good one. Mark Duplass. Crazy stalker guy. And a more modern one, because that's what I was trying to think of. Because I knew you guys would cover the old shit.
That's really good, though.
That's a great addition right there.
That's really good because it is modern and it uses modern, not tropes, but modern kind of
themes.
Things that relate. Yeah, themes.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think
of... Since I'm like the listener, I don't know anything about this. So
okay,
give me something.
I got you. First, I wanted to say that I was trying to think of, well, when he told me we're doing the podcast, he said psychopaths. So in my head, I was thinking, okay, psychopath, somebody, like I said earlier, who can pretend to be normal, has the charisma, no empathy. I think one of the important parts about like a true psychopath in media is the lack of motive. Like they don't have a motive for why they do it. They're just insane and they don't care. So this movie is about a guy who is dying of cancer, but his wife is pregnant. So he hires a videographer to record some video for his son. But it turns out that he's not dying of cancer. His wife is not pregnant, and that is in fact his sister and not actually his wife. And then he starts stalking the videographer.
Wow.
But that's all I want to tell you because I want you to watch
it. There's one more very important factor to this that makes it kind of genius. It's found footage.
Oh, yeah, it's found footage. So it's all...
No.
It's so
very
good. All right.
It wouldn't be the same without this.
All right.
There's a part
it plays out like
that
a documentary.
Makes it very good, but I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was one of those, too, one of the more modern ones that when I first... Yeah, I get so overwhelmed with so many movies.
Right.
So I read about it. I'm like, fuck this. You know, I'm not going to watch some phone footage, blah, blah, blah.
Right, like Glenn's reaction.
Yeah. I mean,
and then after a while, it was like, it was on somewhere. I'm like, okay. And I watched it. I was like, oh, shit, this is really
and you get
good.
Into it right away.
Yeah.
So, right away.
It's very...
The setting is really good. He, like, mails him stuff back to his own apartment. And, like, there's a wolf mask.
That is very much a big part of it. Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also, I don't know if you know this, Aj, but there's also a sequel.
I haven't seen it.
It is also very good.
The first time I watched Creep was at my best friend's 16th birthday party, and we all hated it so much. So then I was like, I'm never watching that movie again. It sucked. There's actually a story that goes with it, but I don't know if she would want me to tell it.
Yes. If you want to tell it, we want to
tell it.
Well, at the time, you know, we were 16, but she had a boyfriend, and there's a part in the movie where one of the things that he gets mailed is a stuffed wolf, right?
Yeah.
And he has to cut it open to get something out. So for her birthday, he got her a stuffed wolf with a necklace inside, and she had to cut the wolf open to get the necklace out.
Oh my god.
So then they broke up.
Oh my god.
So we swore the movie off, and we were like, we're never going to watch it again. But then I watched it again, and I was like, oh, that was really good.
That's funny.
That is cool. That is cool. I love ending
she
relationship.
She was like, oh, he's crazy.
No, that, and that's like
Midsommar.
That's like a different sort of subgenre for me, to itself. Movies that you just, you know, upon first glance, you're thinking, you know, this is just another whatever, not interesting. And then you find that they tend to be classics, you know, because you just don't think. I don't know how
they surprise you. They kind of come out of nowhere for you.
Yeah, like Happy Little Surprises. And
you put on a movie just because it's there, and then you're sitting there an hour later like, what? This is so good.
What's the one about, you know, the serial killer who's Leslie Vernon?
Oh, Behind the Mask.
Behind the Mask. That's another one of those.
That's a great one for this,
too. Yeah, it shouldn't have worked, but it did. You're right.
You need to watch that.
Okay. Yeah.
What's it called?
Behind the Mask.
Yeah, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
Yep.
Yeah, because at first, I remember the first time I seen it, like, this is garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I am not watching this. And then years later, I watched it again. I was like, huh.
Yeah, it's pretty brilliant.
And then years later, after reading some interviews, I watched it again. I was like, oh, I like this. Not in the same category,
it's
but
kind
I
of
was
set
also,
up like creep in a way.
Really?
Yeah.
Not in the same psycho category, whatever, but I felt that way about It Follows. When I first saw that, I was like, this movie sucks. I called it Swallows. And I was like, this is the worst piece of crap. And then later on, I went back to it. I was like, huh.
I actually had somebody tell me, don't watch that movie. But then I watched it anyway, and I really liked it. Yeah. Actually, it scared the shit out of me.
Right. Yeah. So. It is, and it's creepy. That's the thing. When people will tell me, like, oh, dude, this is fucking creepy. You're going to love it. I'm like, show me. Right?
Right.
And then when I do it all on my own and I'm not challenged, you know, in the same sort of way, then I watch it and I'm like, fuck, I love that movie.
Yeah.
It was the same way people, what's the other one? Oh, Smile, when I first saw the ads for that and they're like, oh, you know, there's...
Also scared the shit out of me.
Right. I saw the ads where people are like, oh yeah, the promotion, they're having people smile, catching them at football games and just different promoting it. And I was like, fuck this movie, man. This is some modern day, oh, shit. And Talk To Me was similar.
Talk To Me is so good, bro.
Yeah, that was so fucking good. And I did have expectations for that because it was A24, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so that's just expectation because you know it's going to be decent.
Right. But getting back to the topic at hand, when you say the word psychopath, one movie that just comes into mind because he says it in the movie at one point, says, I'm a total fucking psychopath, is No One Lives. Luke Evans.
Yeah.
It's a WWE produced movie. Yep, yep. I think it's got a wrestler in it too.
Yeah.
The guy they cut open and he gets in the body.
Dude, isn't it Kane?
No, it's Tyrus Ethan.
Oh, okay.
Who is he?
I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, anyway.
I know it was a WWE movie, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's Tyrus. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who that is as a wrestler. But...
Wasn't he just the champ in some
company?
NWA?
I think it was.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big dude. But he plays a bad guy in the movie. But the psychopath in there, Luke Evans... Also from The Hobbit.
He's a good actor, too.
That's such a great movie. That really surprised me, too, because he did not have a motive. In fact, he was already a psycho. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, you've never seen
it? No, I haven't seen it. I just knew it was a WWE movie.
You suck.
The only one... But... Here's why, though. Because I watched the Kane movie.
Oh, yeah. From the Saskia
Sisters. See No Evil or something?
Yeah, something like, well, I think Saskia Sisters did the second one.
Yeah, they did one too.
But I didn't see the first one. I only watched the second one because this Jen and...
Right. What's her name? They have dogs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, our dogs are friends.
Yeah.
internet friends. Our dogs have, our internet friends were there, but they don't know anything. Anyway, yeah, No One Lives, that was one that really took me aside, and he was already doing some fucked up shit, but then when it's revealed that he is, and then when he finally does seek some revenge, the title of the movie comes into play, and by the end, you're just like, holy crap. Totally fucking psychopath, you know,
yes.
Of the best kind.
Yes.
High level good effects, you know, practical shit. And yeah, and that fucking guy.
Tyrus.
Yeah. I don't know.
What'd you have, Sarah?
Let's see. The Shining.
Right.
So you got the isolation.
Yeah. I've seen that one.
Back to isolation. Yeah.
Yes. Isolation would cause me to go insane.
Yeah. I wrote a paper on that in one of my college classes, one of my film classes, an 8-page essay about isolation breeding insanity.
Nice.
About nice. The Shining.
Yo, essay.
It's a I've good always, one. I've always That's one of my favorite horror films.
I've had a small issue with it.
Yeah.
Because I think that he's already a little crazy.
Oh, he's got to be a little crazy.
Well, I mean, he is. It's kind of part of it.
It's the way he plays it, too.
Yeah.
Hiring Jack Nicholson to play crazy person is kind of dumb.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it's great. I'm not crapping on it at all.
No, absolutely.
He's like a recovering alcoholic.
Yes. To begin with. True, true.
There you go.
The isolation. But the isolation. Fully.
And it's different from the book in that it's clearly he's being manipulated by ghosts and spirits.
Right.
And that's not, that doesn't necessarily come through in the movie.
It's not.
Which movie? Honestly, both are good, though.
The remake is more like the book.
Yeah.
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 But do you like it as a movie better than the original?
Do I like it better? No.
Right.
No, not better. But it's a good movie.
It has less jarring imagery, but I really love the bathroom scene.
Oh,
yeah.
Mick Garris's.
Creepy.
I don't remember.
I think that's his wife, too.
Yeah, it is.
God.
God.
Man, that.
The bathroom scene.
Also, speaking of another, like, book to, like, film, like, adaptations, like, Shutter Island. I read the book after watching the movie, and it was pretty, like, similar to that. It was so good.
Yeah.
I was like, holy crap. Because it kind of, like, leads you in one direction, and you're like, wait a second.
Right.
It's so good in that way, though.
One of the only Scorsese horror films, really.
Yeah.
Right? That's
Aside
it.
From is like, what, there's another one.
Is there?
It's escaping me, though. Okay. So forget it.
Scorsese?
Yeah.
That's what Google's for.
Well, Shutter Island took me to a whole idea of, like, the places in the same, a crazy place, right?
Right.
Yes.
So I love A Cure for Wellness. And as soon as I thought of A Cure for Wellness, my brain was like, don't forget Shutter Island.
Yeah.
Do you like Shutter Island? You read the book?
Yes.
Did you think the movie held up well with it? Because I hear a lot of people
Yes.
Good.
Yes, I think so. And I enjoyed both.
Good.
I love it when I can read a book and then see a film and really connect both of them together. So I was like, yay.
Yeah.
Cape Fear.
There you go.
God. So good. So good.
Creepy.
So that's creepy. Scorsese.
And then the other one with the place that I thought of too is a more modern movie, which I think is great. Most people hate it, but it's called Stonehurst Asylum.
Oh
yes.
And so it's Ben Kingsley, Jim Sturgess, David Thewlis, Brandon Gleeson, and Michael Caine.
But it Michael also Caine. Has the vampire lady. What's her name?
Kate Beckinsale.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the first name I think of when I think of that.
Yeah, that was
and
a
then,
good film.
And it's based on and Alan Poe's The
one.
System of Dr. Tarr and Professor Feather.
I did a short film based on that once.
Did you?
I did.
It's a great. Aww. It's. I think it's one of his better Ooh. Stories because it's not formulaic like the others.
Yeah.
It does. It reads completely different.
Yeah. It's unusual.
It's unusual. So yeah, places. And,
you know, another unusual film was Beau Is Afraid.
You know,
so we're not like saying like Beau is insane, but everybody around him in the entire film is fucking crazy.
I haven't seen it yet. I lingered on it just last night. I'm like, It's so long.
It is. Very long movie.
It's like 3 hours, ain't it?
It's worth the ride, though.
I'm going to watch it.
It's so weird.
I was so tired, and I'm like...
Yeah, don't watch it when you're tired. It's definitely...
Oppenheimer? No.
Have you seen that yet?
Oh, wow. That is so perfect.
I guess... Because
it's so long, I have to carve out the 3 hours.
Yeah, for sure. And make sure you look at, like, all the aspects of, like, the background and everything else like that. Because the director's saying, like, he's like... I've had people come up to me and saying, like, oh, well, it's about this, this, and this. And he's like, well, I jam-packed it with so much stuff in the film, and nobody's gotten it correctly yet. Wow. So I'm like, huh.
Okay.
So you really got to take a look at everything.
Awesome.
But yeah. It's so, like, off the rails, and it goes so many different places. You're just like, the fuck is going on? What is happening? Yeah. Huh. So it leaves you with, like, some disgust, some, like... What the hell? And yeah, it's fucking weird.
And talk about Ari Aster being so talented to give us Hereditary, Midsommar, and then this. It's like three completely different movies, all so high echelon.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Even if you don't like them, objectively, those are brilliant goddamn movies.
Oh yeah.
But people that don't like them won't agree with that.
Right.
Yeah, right. I've seen people. They're like, no, they're not. Midsommar. They're fucking stupid. Like,
they're pretty great. I will tell you, I fucking hated Midsommar, and I'll never watch it again. Loved you hated that movie.
It because she said she loved it.
But I will never watch that again.
It'll drag something out of you.
Yeah.
There's some really hard scenes to watch in there.
Yeah, well,
it's like what and what a perfect bookends of movies like Hereditary, Midsommar, completely different. You know, even aesthetically and everything, but at the same time, you're like, oh my God, just Florence Pugh,
how so good,
she's so
filled
good.
With just pain and dread, and somehow at the end, I feel like she's gonna be okay.
Yeah,
you know,
because she tricked you into being a little bit psycho.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Bo, one of the ones I have on my list is Joker.
Nice. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because I think that's a great insanity movie.
It's funny because...
it's one of my favorites.
We can talk about that for sure. But it brings up Scorsese again because King of Comedy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You knew I was going to say that?
I knew you were going to say King of Comedy.
Because I've been looking for that insert.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I almost put Joker, then I was like, nope, King of Comedy.
It's going insane.
Yes.
But this is a horror show.
Well, it is a horror.
King of Comedy?
The ending?
Oh, okay.
Are you serious, bro?
Maybe a little.
A little?
Let me talk about Barbie on the last podcast so we can accept King of Comedy.
He's definitely a madman, sir.
Yeah.
And he is psychotic.
He's pretty crazy.
And the Joker is based on that movie. Yeah. Anyways, let's talk about the Joker.
I want to
talk just kidding.
About the Joker.
Yeah.
That one has had a really big like pop culture kind of impact on like my generation.
Mm-hmm.
Like people will say like, "Oh, this is my Joker moment." Like that's
meaning
like this is going to turn me into origin, the Joker. Like this origin. Is your origin of going insane.
That's yeah, a modern like, reference point. Yeah.
That's sure. good. I
see
that's
it
good.
All the time.
That's good.
I've had so many Joker moments then. Let's start all those Joker moments.
You're like, put on a happy face. Like,
right.
Doesn't that kind of play a little bit like the Voices movie?
It does, yeah.
Because he's got something else going on than what's happening for real.
Definitely. It's a good point, yeah.
Huh.
And I like how he tries to shoo in. He's like almost trying to cram something in that's not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you, man, Joker is one of my comfort movies. I will go to that whenever anytime. Like, I think I've watched it so much that I don't even want to turn it on when you're there because you'll be like, he's watching Joker. You know, like, there's certain movies like that. Like, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is another comfort
Mine
movie
too.
Where I could just go to that Same here. Anytime.
And again, I mean, that could be part of this podcast when you think about it because of the whole cult idea.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Bruce Lee was crazy.
but taught a lesson by an unknown stuntman.
And I'm crazy about Brad Pitt. No,
was he?
You know, what? Ain't nothing wrong with Brad Pitt.
Hell no, there ain't.
But yeah, Joker, so perfect. And I thought, just my initial reaction when I first saw adverts about it was, I hate that fucking makeup.
Right.
I hate the blue.
Right. Right.
It's not my Joker.
Right.
Not my president. Everyone's... No, I'm just like thinking, like, what is wrong? And then I watched, like, oh, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's fucking perfect.
I agree.
That's why I've backed off the reactionary stuff from images. Even like The Crow, we've talked about it online a little bit. Oh, I'm going to watch it.
Me
I don't
too.
Care what
of
he
course
looks like.
You're going to watch it.
Yeah, it don't bother me.
Well,
you know
but
what I mean?
There's certain things that you cannot help, but.
And I get that too.
Yeah, you just can't. And this is a whole other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, there's certain things you can't help, but just know that they have a life of their own. You can't
right.
stop it.
That's it.
Brandon Lee and
you're
the
not
Crow
gonna stop
has a life of its own. It transcends the comic
book. I just
book.
Don't understand why we need to
remake right. it. I mean, well, we don't. But
well, we don't have. We don't
I mean,
need to remake
never
almost anything,
needed
though.
All the other
that's
remakes.
The point. It feels so disrespectful in this specific case. I won't get into
because
it.
Of Eric
because
Draven.
Because of what happened to Brandon on set.
Because
this is his legacy
that
film.
That exact character.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
his legacy film.
But would you argue that
what
for
if,
Heath Ledger?
Yep. Also.
No.
Okay.
He wasn't. He didn't die on the set.
True.
He was killed by the movie.
But the author of the movie is either the director or James Obar. So,
what?
I mean, isn't that
no.
their legacy, technically?
Yeah, but
you
he,
think about
well,
it?
He crapped.
Technically speaking, David Scow wrote The Crow.
Yeah.
And, oh, did he?
Yeah,
yeah.
He wrote The Crow.
James Obar wrote the original. He
the comic.
Okay, that's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
if he wanted to make another Crow.
But he didn't.
He didn't?
Not really.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it does kind of have some, huh. like... Eh.
It has a life of its own, and
yeah.
you cannot deny that. It's kind of like, like, Kiss has a life of its own. That's why you get people that are, like, swearing by only the first original four members, and they can't... Fuck Tommy Thayer. It's like, he didn't do nothing to you. He's a nice guy, or whatever, you know? He's a philanthropist. He donated, like, a lot of money to, like, good causes, like... Why are you so mad if he dresses up like Ace? Like, but people swear because it has a life of its own.
Sure.
Yeah.
Can't deny it. And that's the same with The Crow.
And The Crow is that aesthetic.
It's even more. It's tragic.
It's got like a generational aesthetic too. Like the gothic look and everything.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Anyways, we got off
well,
track.
Well, and you know, my brain.
I try
always,
to tie it back into the
My
Joker.
Brain always goes back to when I was a kid, they announced that Mr. Mom was going to be Batman.
Right. And we were
and
all
everyone
like, what?
Was like, what? That can't happen.
Right.
Mr. Mom?
Yeah.
Val Kilmer's going to play Jim Morrison.
What?
That goofy dude?
That goofy dude?
No.
From Real Genius?
So.
Right.
Me
and
watching
even,
a 6
and then you
week
watch
show.
And you're like, okay.
Even for me, every single time this happens. Well, Ben Affleck's going to play Batman?
Yeah.
What? And you're like, I love Ben Affleck as Batman. Like, Robert Pattinson's going to play Batman? What? I love Robert Pattinson as Batman.
I hope
oh my
Batman
God, he's like my
sparkle.
Favorite Batman.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off with my preconceived notions, you know?
Yeah.
And it has a life of, for me, see, Batman can be many characters.
Totally.
And they're going to have to prove it to me. See,
yeah.
Skarsgård's got nothing to prove.
Right.
He's a bad.
He's
I
great.
Love that
He's
guy.
Awesome.
But it does, you know, I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to judge harshly, and hopefully he won't look like a mumble rapper, you know,
yeah.
too much. Maybe
well,
they'll change him.
He's just playing a rock star guy, so.
Ugh, yeah, it's hard to say. Because, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Like,
I would like to see him play the Joker.
And I love Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah.
We're going to have parentheses around this episode saying also the Crow.
Also the Crow. Yeah.
Well, they know.
This is about madness, but also the Crow.
Have you
the
listened?
Crow remake is madness.
Yeah, and it drives us mad.
Hey, I like how you tied
it's
it in.
Bananas.
It
it's
is.
Bananas.
It's bananas.
Do you remember that old magazine called Bananas?
I do.
Yeah.
I used to
yeah,
love
right?
that magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
What the fuck are we talking about?
Well, I have a few kind of the ain't horror.
Okay.
If you guys.
Yeah.
I got one too. You go ahead.
Okay. these are kind of more recent. I don't know if people would associate them with psychopaths, but these are definitely psychopaths.
Okay.
Nightcrawler. Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, that's a good one. And I feel like that's a horror movie sometimes when I'm watching it.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh, this is kind of a horror movie.
Have you seen that one?
Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's flat out.
Otis Toole.
Yes.
Got a poop on your floor.
Ew.
But no, Nightcrawler. That's great.
That's a good
Mr.
one.
Bubblehead.
Mr. Bubblehead. Yep. And I always put that one with Drive in my mind.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Ooh. And there's...
Yeah.
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 That's
there's,
psychotic.
He might be... There's something wrong
there's
there.
There's something wrong. He's not right. He's not right.
He's not right.
It might not be in the same way that you think about, like, you know...
Right.
With Drive, American with Ryan Psycho. Gosling.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Great fucking movie. Yeah. I always confuse that with Baby Driver.
Yeah.
Which is another great driving movie.
Yeah. In the same kind of... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Drive Angry?
I love Drive Angry, but I don't know very many people that do.
But can you tell me...
And he's psychotic, for sure.
Yes, yes. And so do you know who wrote that movie?
I did at one point.
He also wrote the My Bloody Valentine remake.
Who was it?
And Jason X. I believe his name is Todd Farmer.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
Right? And how many of his movies that he has written... is he naked in?
Oh.
That's the question. Because he does that a lot. You will see his butt in like, so many of his movies.
That's his cameo.
I know it is.
That's his Hitchcock
it's cameo.
It's
his cameo. Like, they were, like, My Bloody Valentine. I was like, oh. Then Drive Angry, I was like, again? That's crazy.
That's hilarious.
I want to see your butt anymore.
I know. It's funny.
I would have thought of Drive Angry, but he's definitely psychotic.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
Wait, what?
And one more I had. 1 Hour Photo.
Oh.
Robin Williams.
Right. Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one.
God.
That was a good
He's
one.
So creepy.
He is creepy.
Yeah. The premise of the 1 Hour Photo is they're taking their... They're, you know, you take your film to get it developed. Like, they still do that at Walmart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the guy that does it, he starts getting interested in one of the families.
Oh.
And it's Robin Williams, and he's very creepy.
Yeah.
He's very creepy.
Super creepy.
It's the creepiest, like, I've ever seen him play.
Yeah.
He did a couple others, though, that he tried, I think, to piggyback that sort
that
of characterization.
That one, there's one with, is it with De Niro?
Can't remember what they are.
There's another one that's more kind of flat out, this is a horror.
Hmm.
It's not as good, though. But he's still good in it, of course, because he was great. Anyway.
Mork and Mindy.
One of the ones I have that's similar to that, where, like, so the movie's not great, but it's just the portrayal of the psychotic person, is this tiny little movie called Relentless.
Oh, Relentless.
So we're talking about Breakfast Club, and so the insane person is Judd Nelson.
Yep.
I remember that.
And he's really... good. He's an insane guy. The movie's made kind of like a made-for-TV movie, so it's kind of not great.
Absolutely.
But it was directed by William Lustig, who made Maniac and Maniac Cop and a lot of great psychotic movies.
Bam!
So William Lustig makes this movie. And in William Lustig, one of the things, like looking this up just to get some information, I found out he was the... He worked on production for both Inferno and Tenebrae.
Oh, wow.
So William Lustig was like on the crew.
I did not know that. Wow.
So he worked on those two Argento movies, which again, Giallos and Psychos again.
Wow. He's good at a grimy aesthetic.
Yeah. And, and one of the actresses in Relentless is Meg Foster, who's been in a lot of horror movies too.
I love Meg Foster in Lords of Salem.
Yeah.
God, I think that's brave as hell.
Yeah. She's good in it.
Yeah. I couldn't be naked in a movie.
Like,
but if I was, it would be a horror movie, I tell you that much.
No, but Judd Nelson was amazing in that.
That's awesome.
And you just, nostalgia slapped me right there.
Yeah.
I would never think I would ever hear of that movie again. And then when you said it, and I realized that was Lustig. Wow, dude, you just really pulled one right out of your butt.
It's very L.A., and it's kind of, to me, it's L.A. that looks like the time that you were in L.A.,
it's
right?
Seedy.
It's kind of that seedy.
Yep.
I made
it's
over, seedy.
It's overly,
that's all
it's overly sunny.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It's one of those movies where you're like, damn.
Yeah.
So, like, all the murders are taking place.
Reel it in, Dean Cundey.
Well, all the murders are taking place, like, during daylight.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Right.
is one of those.
Wrong.
Whore.
What was the first movie you were talking about? Backup? Like you were talking about driving before that?
Nightcrawler?
Yes, Nightcrawler. That was the one. And, God, I don't even know why. Now I remember why I was going to ask you about that again. And it's a completely stupid point, but I wanted to say a couple times we were saying Mr. Bubblehead. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm going to tell you. Because he plays Mysterio. Mm-hmm. And I will be like, the first time that I saw a toy, I think it was, I was like, oh, cool. Fucking Mysterio. And she goes, it's Mr. Bubblehead. Like, what? No, it's Mysterio. She's like, Mr. Bubblehead. And so from now on, every time I see Jake Gyllenhaal,
he's Mr. Bubblehead.
Yeah.
That's great.
But speaking of him, have you seen the new Roadhouse?
Yeah.
So fucking psychopath Conor McGregor in that is a hilarious psychopath. Like, oh, that was
great. He's not acting, man.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
it was just enough of him. If there's any more of him in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, it was just enough. It really was.
Because I was already like, all right, come on now.
Okay. Yeah. And but there was some funny shit. And for me, having, you know, I've watched him in his UFC career.
And he's definitely a psycho.
I fucking hate him.
Yeah.
I've always hated him.
Right, right.
People are like all crazy about him. When he finally got the shit kicked out of him and started losing on a losing streak, I was like, like, because I've always just personally hated when martial artists talk like they're on WWF.
I know, it's so annoying.
Like, that's wrestling
shit. He talked junk about WWF, and they're like, come over here, buddy. Do what we do.
Oh, boy.
You'd die.
Yeah, absolutely. Little puny bitch. But anyway, that's what I hated about that. Anybody who talks like that in real life, like you're trying.
Yeah.
So this role for him was the most I've ever liked him.
Right, right.
And I found myself cracking up with him walking around with his butt crack hanging out and all that kind of stuff. I was like, he's pretty fucking good psycho. And believe, like, he's all juiced
just
up.
Just got a smile on his face the whole time.
Yeah.
Just doing demented shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of who's there, like, who's he even working for? Like,
right. Oh, he's working for...
I know, but...
Yeah. Yeah. He's just... But the dude is, like, juiced to the gills.
Yeah.
You know?
No doubt.
Whatever. But it seemed to the fight scenes and shit. I don't want to get too much in it because...
Right, right.
But he was a psycho in that movie.
Yeah, definitely.
And Mr. Bubblehead.
There's like 10 psychos in that
movie. Mr. Bubblehead.
Yeah, a bunch of them.
What the hell?
It was a fun watch, though.
Yeah.
But I was going to bring up... Nobody has mentioned one lovely lady named Divine.
Oh.
And a movie called Female Trouble from 1974. Talk about psycho. Now, if you haven't seen Female Trouble... I'm really
covering my daughter's ears.
Oh. Aren't you like 30 now?
I'm 22!
Oh, right. So, an adult. And
my prefrontal cortex is not fully developed.
No shit.
But, Whoa! Watch it!
I'm your biggest fan.
That is true.
Anyway, Female Trouble, John Waters. He's made a lot of movies. Most notably.
At least he didn't say Pink Flamingo.
I would say most notably Pink Flamingos, which I don't ever want to see again.
Me either.
But Female Trouble.
I don't want to see that again either.
Yeah, but Divine, who was a famous, very... You know Divine?
No.
He was a very, like, one of the most very famous transvestites.
Cross-dressers, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, big dude.
Very big dude.
And lived his life large as Divine.
Yep.
Like... He's fucking awesome.
I don't care. Divine.
Like a drag queen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Playing Divine.
Well, he
in
called
movies.
Himself a transvestite.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know. But yeah, drag queen is what he would have called himself today.
Playing Divine in movies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also is just Divine.
That's cool.
But yeah. Bring that up, mate. Serial Mom.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Serial that's Mom. An obvious one.
Yeah, another John Waters movie.
There's
yeah,
like a she was psycho great. In every John Waters movie, if we're being honest.
But Female Trouble specifically.
Oh, I've seen.
Yeah. That's Divine.
That's Divine.
Makeup looks very
we're looking at a picture of Divine.
Those on the podcast, we're looking at a picture of Divine.
Yes. Thank you.
The that's one of the first pictures that I remember from seeing, reading Fangoria when I was a kid, was something, I think, from Female Trouble, where doesn't she burn her face with acid or something? And it had the, that Joe Blasco makeup.
Yep.
That, and the mohawk, I think. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
What is going on?
Couldn't find it until I grew up and went to conventions and did some trades. And I'm like, Female Trouble, $10. Okay, we'll do this. And then I was like, holy shit. The whole goal of that movie is for her to be the world's most filthy person. And she was always battling with Mink Stoll.
Right.
And her husband. Like, who could be more filthy? Who could be more filthy? And it just goes, I'm total fucking psycho.
Yeah.
Total fucking.
Total.
Divine. I love Divine.
Yeah.
That I always have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and she was great in, or he, whatever, was great in Hairspray.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yep, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh my God. Have you seen Hairspray?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see Crybaby?
Yeah.
Same director.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. John Waters.
I love Crybaby.
Yeah.
Is there a psycho in Crybaby?
Hatchet Face is kind of a psycho.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I love Hatchet Face.
Yeah. Hatchet Face is great.
Yeah, but that was my one that I couldn't not mention.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's one that no one would really think of.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fun.
Yeah, because there's a whole huge list that you could go on forever.
I bet there's one that you want to talk about, especially dear to your heart.
There is. Do you know what it is?
I don't know for sure, but I know you, so I think
Well, you know, I always have to make everything about Scream.
Okay, so I knew what it was.
But I don't want to talk about Billy Loomis.
Oh.
Because I think the true psychopath is Stu Mocker.
Oh.
Because while Billy had the motive of his mom leaving, you know, because... I mean, no spoilers for Scream, because you haven't seen Scream, get it together. But
You haven't seen Scream?
No, I haven't.
Shut
your ass. What?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, don't tell him too much.
So, and, I already saw who the killers are.
Okay.
I don't care.
Okay.
Spoilers don't bother me.
Okay. In the future, people that are listening to this, we're going to need a new member.
Yeah. So if you've seen some...
I've seen a lot of movies that you guys haven't.
Okay. That's anyway.
New member.
So Billy's dad is having an affair with Sydney's mom.
So... Okay, go on. I'm sorry.
Billy's dad is having an affair with Sydney's mom. So Billy's mom leaves. Mm-hmm. So he's so upset he kills Sydney's mom. Nobody knows this until the very end of Scream. But that is his motive for eventually trying to kill Sydney. Stu is his best friend, also one of the killers.
Wow.
Has no motive at all.
Wow.
And even at the end when they're telling the speech, because, you know, they always have to give the monologue to Sydney at the end. Oh, this is why I was doing it. Sydney's like, why are you doing it? And he's like, I don't know, for the love of the game.
You're right.
So to me, he's the psychotic one.
He's coming back too.
And that is Matthew Lillard.
Mm-hmm. Love that dude.
That man.
Hell yeah. One of the best, man. One of the best.
You know what, too?
He's coming back.
Such a nice guy.
The next movie, he's going to be the killer. Everybody knows it. It's a thing.
What? SLC Punk is so good.
Oh my God.
Stu?
Yeah.
SLC
he's
Punk.
He's dead.
No, he ain't.
And if you haven't seen that, then you're out of the group.
I love SLC Punk.
You're out of our punk rock group that we just started. You didn't see SLC Punk.
SLC dear, Punk. Dear.
James Marandino.
Man.
Oh, brilliant.
I think we've talked about this before, too. We've talked about that scene where they come in and he's listening to Rush.
Yep.
And do you remember this? Have you seen SLC Punk?
Yeah.
Yeah, when they're
she's
they
lying.
Go back,
she just wanted the other group.
Oh my God, when they're kids, and he comes in and he's listening to Rush. He's like, "Hey man, that's Rush, man. What the fuck?" And he's like, "No, but this is new. You're gonna like it." And then I don't know what it is that he puts on. You know,
right? I don't remember.
It's like it's not
you haven't seen
fear or whatever it is, and it's just it builds and it builds and it's punk. But
I think
it's
fear.
It is. I think it might be fear.
Oh.
Yeah,
I think it is fair.
Such a great scene.
Chills.
So good.
Love that movie. God,
what
I
were
love
you gonna
it.
Say?
Matthew Lillard and that was
oh,
the best.
I was going to say I had another weird one that I wanted to pull for Insanity Psychopaths. I just read Mary Shelley's Frankenstein for the first time.
What is it?
Maybe show us Frankenstein. Nice.
And so it's very fresh on the mind.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've seen the movies before, but it's very different. Frankenstein's monster is very intelligent and kind of forces Frankenstein to become insane so that he can feel the way that he feels.
That is psychotic. Another, it wouldn't have occurred to me.
And
but
that is brought upon by, you know, humanity hating him and
A motive again.
Yeah.
Push towards.
You could, and you could really see that in Kenneth Branagh's version.
Yep.
Where, you know, the horror of his woman being killed.
I've only watched it once. I can't watch it again.
It's horrible. That's just terrible. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh my God. Who's the actress? God, you know,
I've only seen it once, and
getting
I know
kind of old.
The monster's De Niro.
Yeah, yeah. De
Kenneth Branagh's.
I need to watch it.
She loves Kenneth
Elizabeth. Davids or something. Embeth.
Yeah, Embeth Davids.
Thank you.
From the third Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness.
She's
yep.
From
yes. That's right.
And she's adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah,
that movie
and
me.
It just would. Oh my gosh! Yeah, couldn't imagine it.
I haven't seen that.
Please don't ever get killed by a monster.
Aww.
But
wonder what we're looking like here. Hang on one sec.
You're good.
Okay, we're good.
Where are we at?
We're at 116, so we can yap a little bit further. Yeah.
But I didn't know the extent of what the monster does. Well, first, you know, he tries. He's actually trying to give humanity a chance. He gives humanity multiple chances before he goes and starts slowly killing off every single person that Frankenstein has ever loved in order to isolate him, to drive him to the insanity that he himself feels because he's been isolated his entire being because of the monster that he is.
So. And the symbol of the end, he ends up in the Arctic because how much more isolated can you get than the edge of the world?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what makes The Shining effective.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when there's no way out and you're just kind of trapped there.
Yeah.
And then you're...
But that's a normal Stephen King trope when you think about it.
But then you're the wife of...
Yeah.
Right.
The psychotic person.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
It is.
That's real good. I wouldn't have thought of it. When we first thought of this, the when we said, oh, let's do, I think Sarah had the idea.
Yeah.
Let's do Madness and Psychos. I thought of Deranged. That was the very first one that popped into my mind.
Oh, okay. My God.
You know,
Ezra Cobb.
Oh, Ezra Cobb.
The Butcher of Woodside.
Yep.
Yep.
And those movies go together with, to me, is Deranged and Death Dream.
Oh, yeah.
So kind of around this. I think Alan Ormsby wrote, maybe even directed one of them.
Alan Ormsby did Death Dream, I believe.
I think he wrote them both, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, him. Maybe. Who's the other guy?
I can't think of his name.
Oh, fuck.
But, yeah.
And Tom Savini did effects for both of those.
Yeah.
Death Dream, I think, was his first one that he did.
And then, this comes right after Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things.
Right.
So Deranged is kind of Ed Gein.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No, I know Ed Gein.
Okay, well, yeah. But I mean, Deranged is based on...
Yeah, he's my
but
hero.
But it's more of a... It's more of a look at it from that...
Crackers.
From that perspective than Texas Chainsaw.
Right.
Which is around the same time, and you, of course, Texas Chainsaw is full of psychos.
Yeah.
They're all psychos.
They're all psychos.
But this one is really kind of intimate in a weird way. It just kind of, I think Alan Ormsby just had a way to do this because his movies are almost all like that.
Yeah, definitely.
And they just kind of wash over you with this weird, creepy kind of intensity.
Yeah.
And I see that a lot of people don't like Deranged. They don't like Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things. I don't know about Death Dream. I don't know how well received it was, but I love Death Dream.
I think, you know, there's that whole idea of, a lot of these movies that we're talking about have a creep-out factor.
Yeah.
And even if it's good, it can still turn the audience off.
Yeah.
I remember how much I
liked... it's lurid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crawl Space with Klaus Kinski.
Perfect.
that's an insane guy.
Yeah.
And
Bob Clark.
Bob Clark, yeah.
Sorry.
No,
the
no.
The producer and, yeah.
No, that makes sense.
He did Black Christmas.
Yeah, he did Black Christmas.
And Porky's.
Porky's.
And Christmas Story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Black Black Christmas
Story. One of our great Canadian dudes. Absolutely. To come down and make some awesome movies, man.
Absolutely. But yeah, Deranged. I think that you should watch it if you haven't seen it. It's,
you should watch everything.
To me, it's kind of heavy. In a weird, creepy, lurid way.
Yeah. Definitely. and it's closer to the real, I mean, the real story's pretty bonkers, but the thing with Texas Chainsaw Massacre is it's not even the right, you know, it's Texas.
Right.
Whereas this story takes place in Wisconsin.
Right.
Yeah.
And Ed Gein is just like the guy where everyone's like, Ed Gein did that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of like, well, yeah, I guess he did. He's weird as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the guys that I always use as an inspirational way to let people know that it's never too late, because he did start eating people until he's in his late 40s. So it's never too late, lovely guys. You can always, you can always go for your dreams.
I think I'm going to head out.
You can always shoot for the stars.
Yeah. I want to tie one more thing in.
As long as the stars aren't eating people.
As long as the stars are made of flesh.
We are stardust, after all.
Yeah. You know, it's so poetic.
There we are.
You just made cannibalism poetic.
That was not my intention. I'm sorry. So, to tie it, maybe tie it in here? To pull Frankenstein in a little bit?
Okay.
How about a couple of Karloff movies? One of them is Body Snatcher.
Mm-hmm.
The Val Lewton. You ever seen that one?
Mm-mm.
He plays this guy named Toddy. Or no. Toddy's the guy that he's stalking. Because he's like, you'll never be rid of me, Toddy. But he's scary. He's creepy. He's a complete psychopath. And it's Karloff, so there's a little bit of weight to it. Because he's such a good actor. But then one of his last roles is Targets.
Oh, yeah.
Peter Bogdanovich.
Yeah.
And it's always intrigued me because he had Karloff for like 2 weeks. Do you guys remember The Terror?
Mm-hmm.
So he had Karloff for like 2 weeks because they owed him time from this movie they made called The Terror.
Yeah.
So Roger Corman had 2 weeks of Karloff and he's like, make a movie with Karloff.
Sweet.
And he turns out this movie that's kind of a reflection of old classic monsters.
And Hitchcock?
And they necessarily don't work
right
in nowadays fashion. Because everything's scary. The real world's scary.
Mm-hmm.
So Karloff is kind of going to cons and things like that and being like, oh, I'm Byron Orlock and I'm signing autographs. And meanwhile, there's this killer. Sorry to tell you guys the whole thing, but the premise of what I'm getting to. There's a killer that is randomly shooting people on the streets in their cars.
Okay.
And it comes, he's obviously the psycho in question here. And it comes to the craziest conclusion that you could ever kind of think of, but it's so simple and it's so perfect.
What movie is this?
Targets.
Targets.
Targets. Okay.
Never it's one it. Of Karloff's last movies. He was like 81 when he made it. He could barely even walk. But he wanted to make this movie because that's what he did. He worked up till the day he died. Basically, they were helping him, carrying him to the set and shit like that.
That's crazy.
And he's so good in it. He's so funny. It kind of plays off of the Frankenstein themes, but it's such a dark movie and it has this brilliant ending that I've always loved. I think it might be Bogdanovich's first movie.
I think it is too. Yeah.
So yeah. That's one I love. And I wanted to bring that one up, too, because I love it so much.
Yeah. And it's a weird one because, for some reason, it's not well made that well.
No, much. I think you people, should watch it again.
Well, but people do see something in it.
I think it's
And I remember Brian De Palma talking about it being an inspiration for Blowout.
Obvious.
Right?
Obvious.
It's a Blowout. Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Oh.
But I
love Blowout.
I think it is well made. Because it's telling another these Travolta two movie. Stories that are going on at the same time.
What I mean is, like, the camera setups are super basic.
It's it's pretty good, bro.
It's yeah, it's not
storytelling wise.
All right.
Relent it.
If you're listening, they're fist fighting right now.
Roadhouse.
No, it's
I get to be Bubblehead.
Bubblehead.
Mr.
Bubblehead.
You're Connor McCloud.
No one can be Connor. No one can be Connor.
Nobody wants to be.
No.
Wouldn't mind his bank account.
No full backle nudity either.
Oh, I. So I had just, I'll just say one more, and it's not by any means a pinnacle of anything, but it is a pretty good view of a psychopath, and it kind of speaks to modern day. Russell Crowe in Unhinged. Mm. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
Well, so first of all, Russell Crowe in this movie looks like he ate Russell Crowe. Because he is as big as I've ever seen him. And he reminds me if fucking Jason Voorhees was in Traffic and you cut him off and yell at him and then a road rage incident begins and trails all around.
Right.
And it just so happens that this one person with a child is like talking shit, and this dude didn't just have a bad day. I mean, we're talking loss and pain and everything, and this one lady who's like some Karen doing her thing, and he makes it his main goal through that whole movie to fuck with her. Oh. And not just like run her off the road. I mean murder people and just go hog fucking wild. And it really does speak, like, especially if you know, drive in LA.
Right.
You know, 8-lane traffic on each side. You know, people, all kinds of hurry with no consideration. You find that one person, that's Russell Crowe in that movie, Unhinged.
That's why Michaela won't honk at a car that pulls in front of her. She's worried about some shit like that. She's like,
yeah. I mean, there's a way to honk.
Right.
You know, beep, beep. Right. Beep, beep. Hey, you know, like, not trying to be rude.
Hey, you pulled in front of me there.
So it's kind of...
Yeah, no, that, no. Flip people have done that to me in the past and driven by and then be like, oh, look forward. Like, they didn't know I'm going to fucking kill you, don't you? Huh?
So, yeah. So it's a
Russell Crowe.
So
I got a stuffed animal in the back.
It's a very dark version of falling down, like Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
Where he just snaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that warranted?
Yeah. Is it warranted? No, but is it insanity?
But it
kind of is.
Logically warranted,
yeah.
Right?
But yeah,
right.
He was a little gone before that one day because he kept telling his mother that he was going to work and packing a lunch or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But he wasn't going anywhere.
He wasn't going anywhere.
That's right.
Just that one day, true. He just stops. That's a great movie.
That's so good.
He just stops and just like leaves. Everybody's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm going home.
Yeah.
And at the very end, oh man, Robert Duvall in that movie. I've
oh yeah.
Yeah. I know you've seen it, right? Michael Douglas Falling Down. Maybe not. I don't know. But we've talked about it before too, especially Duvall's character in that.
He's so good at that kind of shit.
Yeah,
man.
It's pretty. It's like a very subtle cop thing, right?
Yeah.
Whereas most cops are. But he's very quiet and very slow and yeah, it's
but
good.
But he's got that, whatever that is.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I just saw Joe Kidd the other day, which isn't, well, I guess there's some psychos in it, but Robert Duvall's character in that.
Oh.
And he's just so good in every damn thing.
Yeah.
Ugh. If he's playing somebody that's kind of hardwired, that is...
self-destruct.
Scary.
Yeah.
Well, was there anything else that you wanted to mention?
I have one last, and of course, I'm going to bring it back to... Oh, yeah, you can say that one if you want to. No, well, my most favorite of all horror movies, I'm going to bring you back 103 years to Dr. Caligari. Yep. The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. So if you like silent films and the German Expressionism, that is the most awesome film. They also did a remake, which I totally love too, which is amazing. Yeah. But so not exactly psychopaths, but so we have a couple of fellas that are sitting in this garden and, you know, they're talking and it kind of almost plays out like a dream scenario. And there it just so happens to be like, in the end, they're actually in an insane asylum. So right. You're just kind of like, oh, so it's really interesting the way it all plays out. You know, there happens to be a somnambulist and a puppeteer of a character named Dr. Caligari, but the film itself is just so like strange and weird, and it just kind of like brings me to like this special place. And that is my comfort movie.
I was gonna ask you that. My favorite.
Absolutely.
The last time we talked about this, I went home and watched the remake.
Yeah.
You were right. It is freaking good.
It is good.
It looks great.
It does, because it really brings out that like old timey, like the way that
same
they did.
Dreamy feel.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Which is
and
what
they,
I was thinking they
explain
wouldn't...
it more. So some people just can't go and like, you know, play along with the whole silent thing, which I'm just kind of like, duh.
Right.
What I always liked about it was that it felt, even for that time, it felt very DIY.
Yeah.
Right? It felt like, wow, this is like so, these guys must have been like, oh, just, I'm going to do that part of this and I'm going to build this part of the set.
Right, yeah. Right.
It was
what
like
a cool
so.
Set, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ever because seen any shots from the set or anything? It's
all painted, so the light and everything plays up onto like the staircase and up on everything and just makes it look like it's got shadow and shade, and it's so pretty.
It just looks off-kilter.
Yeah, and it's really weird. It's really weird. Cool. It's so, like, I've never seen anything else like it. So
That's
my favorite.
I feel like I did a lot of talking here, but I would like to mention Pan's Labyrinth. Because the main villain is one of the most psychotic people in the film.
I liken him to Hitler.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the point of him, I think, isn't even that it's a guy.
Yeah.
He is evil. He's the stand-in.
The epitome.
For madness.
Yeah.
That he is just evil personified.
Absolutely.
And so that one.
Beautiful film.
Yeah, that...
No,
one of my favorite movies.
I barely can watch it. I think I've seen it like three times.
Yeah, there's some.
But every time I'm like, this is my last time.
Yeah,
because I can't take that character.
I know
that is the only film that
he's
we
rough.
Own that's Criterion.
Yeah.
So
beautiful. I feel that way about a Serbian film. Every time I watch it, I'm like, this is the last time. And then I just find myself popping it in, getting some popcorn, and being like,
lighting some candles on a birthday cake.
That movie is insanity.
Give me my big wooden spoon.
Oh my god.
What about
Solo?
No, they're not gonna talk about Solo.
Oh my god, what was that fucking movie we watched the other day that Britt lent us? What was that?
Dismemberment? No, The Degenerates.
The Degenerates. Have you ever seen this?
No.
Well, talk about fucking psychos, and I don't know if Britt will ever hear this or not, but whatever, Britt. It was like this. It's a true story.
I'm tagging Britt.
It's a true story. Like they're in the '80s, this couple like went on a meth binge or something, and the lady had a boyfriend, and this guy came over to see him, and they decided to kill the boyfriend together, and then cut him up and mutilate him and play with his parts and do all kinds of shit. This really, really happened in real life.
Yeah.
So these people made a movie about it, and they filmed it and took pictures and did in real life. So they made a movie about it, shot it like it's on VHS.
Oh.
And there's nothing left to the imagination.
Oh.
And, you know, I know I don't like these kind of movies.
Right, right.
And so we're at Britt's party, and she's like, you want to borrow some movies? Like, yeah, let's borrow some. She chose a few, and I was like, look at them, like, I stopped watching movies when these kinds start coming
right,
out.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Like, I've seen, you know, I'm a monster guy. So,
right,
like,
right.
This sort of, but, you know, we watched it anyway, and we put that fucker in there,
And I was like, no. No. Like, I'm not fucking watching this shit.
This is too much.
And yeah, I mean, it was, I won't even tell you what I told her was the worst part about it, because it's just.
Did you watch it all the way through?
No.
No.
Okay, so this becomes the greatest line ever for their video release. Lucifer Fulci shut this off.
Lucifer's getting old, dude. Lucifer's an 80s kid, man. I like Tremors. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, I definitely have a spot for gore, of course, but it's like, you know, it's got to be, you know, Fulci.
No, I feel you. Yeah, I can't watch that.
Yeah,
I'm not interested in that sort of thing. But that was, you know, about these two, and it really happened, you know.
Wow.
Talk about that shit. Like, I love serial killer movies. I love Hannibal Lecter.
Right.
You know, that.
Oh, what about, Mindhunter?
Mindhunter.
Because I thought we should mention that, because every episode is basically a different psycho.
Right. Oh, God, I wish they would have kept making those.
Me too.
Yeah. Who knows, maybe one time they might bring it back.
Season 3. There's some kind of rights thing or some shit. I don't know if it's true or not.
Man, Mindhunter is great. That's another one I'll go back to.
Me too.
I'll go back to that, to Dexter. You know, I love
Detective.
True Detective Season 1.
Season 1.
You know, I don't think I'll ever watch those other seasons ever again.
I haven't even seen the rest of the new one yet.
Oh, yeah.
But I was into it.
Yeah, we were into it too. You know, by the time it was over, I was like, bait and switch.
Okay.
That's what it felt like. So...
Audrey, you had anything else that you wanted to add?
No.
Y'all getting tired.
I know a lot of crazy people.
You're sitting with four of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Christoph Waltz in Inglourious Bastards.
Good one. Ooh. That opening scene in the cabin
is
one of the most frightening scenes.
I hate it, but I love it.
Yeah.
Right.
So hard to watch.
Yeah.
Fuck.
What about Len Birdsall in Flint Horror Collective?
No.
Oh, God.
No.
That guy.
I'm not watching that again.
Bananas.
And then
it's grainy.
Bananas.
It's grainy, and there's always Susie and the Banshees playing in the background.
That's the best part.
Oh, my God. Or Kate Bush. Oh, my God. I don't want to run up that hill.
All right. Well, I think we kind of come around to it, and it's a good little hour and a half.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Of madness.
Of madness.
Thanks for listening to our crazy ramblings.
There's a very good 40 minutes in this hour and a half.
And a half of that's about the crow. Thanks, you guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Love you. Bye. Love you.
Bye.
Whatever.
Bye.
Schmegma.
Bye. Yes.